Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 117. I just want to go back over a little bit of what we have on our website. There are a number of articles that have been written under a tab called Articles. There's a tab called Today's Rhema that has a number of prophetic words that I posted on that link. And then these radio programs are all under the archives of the Strength for the Journey, S4TJ Radio Archives. There's also a number of interviews that I've done with True News, and that's under a link called Interviews and which year they were done. Tonight, I have my very close friend here in Panama, David Williams, with me. We're going to discuss some interesting things tonight. David, thanks for joining.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here.
I want to talk tonight about being proactive. I think that the Lord has called us with an offensive gospel. When he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, it wasn't a suggestion, it was a command. And I believe that many of us would rather stay home than go. And I think the Lord is calling his people out now to become obedient to him at his word, that they need to learn how to obey, not by the circumstances necessarily they see around them, but what is he speaking to them in their heart and their spirit? One of the scriptures that comes to my mind is in Proverbs. And it says that a prudent man, this is Proverbs 27:12, it says a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. And I believe right now that the Lord is speaking to many people about things that they need to do for the future. The Lord gave me some very clear words back in early 2012. And one of the words was that really kind of rung my bell was, your nest is in the wrong forest. And that made me have to do something, realizing I wasn't in the right place that God wanted me to be for whatever reason. I didn't know at the time, but I felt like, again, it had something to do with danger, that I was in the wrong place, that I needed to leave. And there was a sense of almost a fear of disobeying God, that I didn't know exactly what he wanted to do, but there was enough fear inside me that I needed to be obedient, that it mobilized me to do something, and to do something that was way out of my comfort zone. When I heard the forest, it was very clearly it was the United States. And so I had to do something. I had to be proactive. I didn't know exactly what it was that I was supposed to do or where I was supposed to go. I just know I was supposed to leave. And there was a purpose behind the leaving, and I didn't know that either at the time. And I think sometimes God's just looking for us, are we willing to roll out of bed if the alarm goes off? Because the problem is, if you have ever overslept your alarm, you didn't get out of bed when you should have got out of bed. You stayed in bed too long, and you went back to sleep. And I think that is the testimony of many Christians today, that God has rung their bell, so to speak, and woken them up, but yet they enjoy the comforts of their bed more than they wanted to find out why they're supposed to get out of bed for the day. And I know that the Lord had, in many ways, has dealt with you similarly, that he's taken you way out of your comfort zones a number of times. But every time that he takes us out of the comfort zone, we grow an ability to move out of that norm. And it was for me just initially leaving Texas to go to Montana, and didn't know where we were really, why we were supposed to go. We just packed up everything we owned in a motorhome, in a trailer, and didn't even know we had a place to stay. The Lord opened up the door for us to stay in a place once we got there, but it was a matter of trust and faith to go without knowing. You know, God told Abraham, leave and I'll show you. And our biggest problem is that we almost say back to God, show me and I'll leave. You know, I want to see why I'm going before I leave my place of comfort and this enjoyable bed I sleep in. But I know that this is, I believe the Lord on this program really wants to speak to people and really motivate them. If the Lord has given them a word, it's time to obey the word that he's given them.
Well, you know, we've seen so many people over the course of the past year, especially as so many have moved from the United States down here to Panama. and many more have expressed interest, but we see a lot of people who are praying, God, give me an open door, give me an open door, show me an open door. And then the Lord will open the door, and then they'll say, okay, now, Lord, I need a confirmation. Now I need, you know, I need you to confirm this for me, and I need to make sure that this is the Lord. And that's good. You know, I appreciate that people want to test the spirits and discern how they're being led. But so many times it turns into an overly analytical process where people begin compiling a list of all of the reasons why they cannot obey what has been shown them. And, you know, there's another proverb that says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so, you know, if we're looking for understanding in a situation, if we have that knowledge of Him, if we understand His ways, if we've spent time with Him, if we've spent time, you know, reading the Bible and understanding how He deals with His people, then that's going to bring understanding to a situation. And I think it's a fearful thing that someday that we would all stand before God and try to face to face offer Him excuses for why we did not do what He asked us to do or commanded us to do. And so, you know, obedience is the key. And I think when we have that healthy fear of the Lord, that reverence for Him, then we will obey.
Well, that brings me to a scripture that I've been just kind of jumped out at me a moment ago. This is in Hebrews 11:7. It says, by faith, being warned of God of things yet not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteous, which is by faith. And, you know, every time I see the word faith, I kind of expound the word to a little bit better understanding, because, you know, faith isn't something that you just happen to capture one day. It's like an elusive butterfly, and you got this butterfly net, and you're chasing this word called faith. Oh, I got it today. Oh, I lost it. It got away. Faith is literally trust, and so much trust that it leads to obedience. It's the place where you know that God's words are true, and you can take it to the bank. That it will spend any time because you trust the words are true. When you doubt, when you begin to waver in your trust, you're wavering in your faith. And so really, if there's a lack of faith, it's really a lack of trust problem. What is it that you don't trust about God, or what you don't trust about His words? That has to be so settled that there's no question in your mind. It says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, because faith is that substance, that evidence. It says that you must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you don't believe that, then there's nothing to take to the bank. There's no way to trust Him if you don't believe that who He is, that He does exist, that He is real, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So where are we in our lives? Is it the lack that we don't really believe that He's real, or that maybe we're not diligently seeking Him? Is that where we're wavering in our faith?
Well, and you're right. You know, we've seen so many people again over the course of the past year that have made the voyage down here to Panama from the United States, either to live here permanently or to check things out to see if that's an option for them. And, you know, I think we're beyond the point at this point of trying to convince anyone to come or to recruit anyone. We would definitely not want anyone to do anything that the Lord is not leading them in. However, for those who have received a call that they need to be obedient to, whether that's to Panama or elsewhere or some other aspect in their life, you know, we were just, before we started recording, we were talking about the instance of Naaman. The Lord had a great blessing in store for Naaman through Elisha, the prophet. And of course, he was a leper, and he came to Elisha looking for healing. And Elisha gave him a very simple command. He said, hey, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And this was a great man of standing. He was a man of great renown and respect. And he took offense at that. And he thought, you know, we've got better rivers in my hometown than they've got here in Israel. Why should I go dunk myself in this muddy river? And you know, his servants came to him and said, "Master, you know, if he told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done this? You know, instead, you know, how much easier is it to do the simple thing?" And so he does it, and he receives the blessing. And I think so many times the Lord gives us a very simple thing to do in our lives, whatever that is. And like Naaman, we're almost offended, and we think I'm above that, or I don't have time for that. And I think, you know, if we're faithful with the little things, then God will bring the blessing and make us ruler over much.
And many times God just gives us something simple. Maybe he just wants us to speak to somebody. Maybe he has a word for us. We don't realize what that word could do for somebody. I remember standing in a grocery store line one time, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Turn around to the man behind you and tell him I'll deliver him from alcohol." And I'm thinking, yeah, right. This guy will probably slug me, you know. But I did. And turned out, when I told him that the Lord told me to tell him this, that he told me the story that he had been delivered from alcohol many years earlier, and he was on a business trip 10 years prior to this time, and he drank two beers and literally couldn't stop drinking again. It just, you know, just became an alcoholic again, even though he'd been delivered for many years. And he said he was at his wit's end, and he was going to go home that night and was going to kill himself. And I said, "Well, the Lord wanted to intervene in your life tonight because he loves you." And it changed his life. That word, I didn't have any idea the guy was going to go home and kill himself that night. Well, we don't know, but it's just a matter of a simple obedience. Speak to somebody, do something. I was thinking about being proactive in a sense of Esther, Queen Esther. You know, she had to risk her life to go before the king and appeal for her people. Well, the real danger wasn't really there yet. It wasn't manifested. It was on the way. She got a little heads up from Mordecai. Maybe we are getting a heads up from God himself. Maybe this radio program is a heads up. Maybe God's speaking to you that are listening right now, that there's some things that God's speaking to your heart that you need to do, you need to obey. You know, when it says that Noah's obedience with fear, it says that he, being warned of God of things yet not seen, moved with fear. You know, people want to say, "Well, I'm not going to move with fear. You know, fears are the devil." You know, fear is a great motivator. We should fear God. He said, Jesus said himself to his friends, he addressed them as his friends, "Don't fear man who can just merely kill your body, but fear God who can not only kill your body, but cast your soul in hell. That should be a tremendous fear upon us. I mean, how dare we think that we are so Teflon coated that if he spoke that way to his own disciples, that we are we got to get out of jail free card because we said a simple prayer one day, someday in our past. This is a walk that we have to work out daily. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. This is a marathon race until the day your heart quits beating. I mean, you look in the book of Revelations, it's all through the book of Revelations about enduring, that he that overcomes shall not be, shall not be hurt by the second death. I mean, the first death's our first death. The second death is going to the lake of fire. I mean, we all need to fear. We need to walk in that fear of the Lord. And this is what Noah did. He moved with fear in preparing an ark to the saving of his house. And I believe that what we're doing in many ways here in Panama right now is we are preparing an ark. In our obedience to do what we're doing, many other people are coming as if God is calling them. Just like when Noah did his job of building the ark, he had nothing to do with filling the ark. That was God's job. God brought the animals to the ark. Noah had nothing to do with it. And I believe that this is a part of our job, is being obedient to do what God tells us to do. And I encourage you, wherever you are listening to this radio program, that the same goes for you, that you doing what God's telling you to do is building an ark of safety for your family or for yourself. Whatever he's telling you to do, just do it. Just follow the simple advice Jesus' mother did at the wedding. Whatever he says to do, just do it.
You know, and we have an advantage as disciples of Christ that Noah never had. You know, we have the knowledge that God loved us so much that he became man and came and died on the cross for us, shed his blood for us. So if it's really true that our lives are not our own, that we were bought at a price, and then that should make obedience easy. We should be able to say, hey, my life is not my own. My life ended when I came to the cross and I accepted Christ. I died and was buried with him in baptism, you know, sharing with him in his death. And now the life that I live unto Christ. And so, you know, if we're really going to call him Lord, then we need to act like it. We need to follow through with that in our lives. Otherwise, we'll be like those that Jesus said, you know, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know, we don't want to hear that report.
Not a good report. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, this is verse 26 and 27, if any man comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. This is like qualification 101 to follow Jesus, is that nothing can come between you and him. Your love for anything, anybody. Next thing he said, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So if you're still living for yourself, if you haven't picked up your cross, in other words, you're going to your own death at this point in time, then you cannot be his disciple, because your life, to save your life, will get in the way of losing your life. And this is, I think many people think, well, I won't deny the Lord. Well, you won't deny the Lord if you've already given up your life to him. If you've already given up your life to him, then what's there to lose? You've already lost it. But if you haven't given up your life to him, then you'll do everything you can to save it. In verse 33, it says that, so likewise, whosoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So that's the love of your stuff. If your stuff means more to you than your relationship with him, then that stuff will get in the way of your relationship with him and your following it and being obedient to him. So these are qualifications 101. You know, if you want to really get down to whether or not you will obey, these are three things: the love of people, the love of your stuff, and the love of your own life. All those have to be put aside. And the Lord, of course, wants us to love our neighbor as ourself, but we have to love him first. There's nobody and nothing can get in our way between that relationship with him.
That's right. You know, we mentioned the prophet Elisha earlier, and I like the picture that is painted for us when Elisha is called into his ministry by Elijah. And, you know, Elijah comes and throws his mantle over Elisha as he's out plowing with his oxen one day. And Elisha's response as Elijah leaves is he slaughters the oxen, uses the yoke that they were using to make a fire and hosts a big barbecue for his family. And in doing that, he said adios to all three of those things that you just mentioned. You know, his life as he knew it was over. He was no longer a farmer. There's no record of him plowing fields after that. His family, he said goodbye to at that barbecue, and you know, his career and everything that he was doing, it's over. His stuff, his possessions, his oxen, his livelihood.
This our experience coming here to Panama has been, for me, really my qualification to really be discipled. I really thought I was living back in America, but I really hadn't gone through the stripping process that I went through to come here. And this is where I have been discipled. I really wasn't discipled. I think my heart was still attached too much to my stuff. And God just had to do a scissor cut, just snip the strings and all the cords. And it's interesting that I was even talking to you tonight about this, that when I left our house, and I went through, for 2 months, we just went through stuff. We had 5 yard sales and 3 auctions, and it was just, how fast can I get rid of my stuff? Because I knew once I got rid of my stuff, I'd be free to go. And it took literally 8 weeks to do that. Just so much stuff, living in a house with eight children, you know, car projects, you name it, just tools. I just had so much stuff. To reduce it down to suitcases, it took a while. But the liberation that I had when I got on the airplane, we actually were on a van, a 15-passenger van with my whole family, and everything we owned was sitting inside that van. And I thought, wow, now we're free. I'm free. I can go wherever God says to go, and I can do whatever he says to do. There's nothing to hold me back. There's the essentials are in our suitcase and a few boxes, and we're ready to go. And I feel like I was preaching at a church that Sunday before we left, and as I was preaching, the Lord gave me a vision of myself, and I was in his hand. And I was like a dandelion seed in his hand, like a little fluffy ball. And I felt like he just kind of blew into his hand. He said, now I can send you. And if you think about it, a flower is really a nice, pretty thing. But it has to die to turn into a seed to be sent into the wind, like a dandelion. And I think that God is kind of looking for us right now to quit looking pretty and just to die. Because this is where the fruitfulness of our lives will all come, is in that place of death. Unless a seed fall into a ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And I think God is looking for this process of death for all of us to bear fruit in our lives right now.
Well, and you know, it's almost ironic or funny. I don't want to say it's funny. It's sad, really, that we always, what the words that come out of our mouths as Christians are, Lord, we want to glorify you. You know, we want to see your glory. Well, you know, Jesus goes on and says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. But if we work backwards logically, we see, okay, but you cannot bear much fruit unless that kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies. So, you know, it's a kingdom reality, and it's one that's difficult to receive. It's why, you know, it's why the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who the Lord would open our eyes and give us understanding, it's the power of God. It's life everlasting.
You know, I want to read this scripture. I was reading it earlier. It's in Luke chapter 12, and it really kind of helps explain the power of stuff over our life. Here in verse 16, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So he that lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. And he said unto the disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life for what you shall eat, neither for your body what you shall put on. For life is more than meat, and body more than raiment. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns. Yet God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add one stature to your cubit, or one cubit to your stature? If you then, not being able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say that Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow's cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what you shall eat and what you shall drink, neither be ye doubt of a doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, give alms, provide neither yourselves for yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Really what it's all about, I believe, is that God is trying to show us where our treasures really are right now. Because wherever our heart is, our treasure will automatically be. And that's why we have to shift treasure chests from the world to the heavens.
Well, and you know, you just read that parable of the rich fool, and the verse right before you started reading, verse 15, kind of sums it up. He said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And, you know, we would all say, well, none of us think that we're greedy. Well, I'm not greedy. I don't covet other people's things, but well, do you covet your own things? You know, do the things in your life, take possession of you? How much control do they exert on your decisions and where you go and what you do? And most specifically, how does it affect the decision to be obedient to what the Lord has called you to do?
Well, many people are very concerned about, you know, well, I need to have almost like a job transfer before I leave the States. I have to go from one place of comfort to another, but it doesn't work that way. You know, when you follow the Lord, there's a new level of trust that has to be initiated in your life. And it's really interesting is that I was going through my stuff, I was in my shop, and I had all my daytimers that I'd had for 10 years with all my business contacts of my previous business. And the Lord literally told me to throw them away. And I tell you, it's kind of scary, you know, thinking that I could follow up with a lot of business contacts and make money this way, you know, even on the internet or through the telephone. And the Lord told me to throw them all away. And what it did was it made me, and then it had me turn around. I saw my trophies there on the ground too. And he said, do you want to hang on to your old trophies or do you want new ones? And so that's where I had to go. I had to go to a place where I had to let go of everything that I had, whatever accomplishments, accolades, because God had something new for me. And we only have a few moments here, David, but do you have a last thought here?
As I listen to you talk about trophies, I think to myself, you know, it's a good deal to trade in a few trophies for a crown.
Absolutely. The trophies that perish for a trophy that won't.
That's right.
So thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. For the journey.